The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two, let's get started here on the show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck here, closing out the week. Like I said, Chuck will be back on Monday. So we continue things rolling along here on the show. The Chuck Oliver Show, part of Southern Sports Today. Again, southernsportstoday.com is a way that you can check us out. But guess what also as well? Those of you on Twitch, twitch.tv/ChrisLandryFootball right here, this thing. If you don't have the Chuck Oliver Show app downloaded on the phone, it's easy. Go to the App Store, Google Play Store, wherever it might be. Find it, download it. Podcast of the show, both hours. Pow, they are there. The live of the show, pow, it's there. And then guess what? If you miss us where we are live for the 2 hours every day, it goes on a two-hour loop all throughout the rest of the day until the next one comes up. So here's the deal. You've got numerous chances if you miss today's show with me until we get to Monday at the time that we're live. So all that information coming at you. I know it's a lot, but still, you can catch it all on the Southern Sports Today app. So go there and download it if you haven't done so already. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to be talking Mississippi college football just across the board, it seems, with Jackson State with Deion Sanders, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. We'll be talking that with Jake Wimberly, Afternoon Drive 3 to 6 on our Jackson, Mississippi affiliate, ESPN The Zone 105.9. We'll be doing that with Jake. And then let's head down south to Gainesville and let's talk with Zach Abelverde, Gators beat for the Gainesville Sun. And of course, the closing argument, everything that we have here on the Chuck Oliver Show. You know how we do things here. And if you don't, well, that's how we do things here. So now we learned you something right there. So good on us. All right, let's dive into some headlines.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now.
All right, first headline. Former Alabama linebacker Ali Cahoe heading out west and going to play for Utah. As this wasn't necessarily anything much of a surprise in terms of him leaving the program, but now he's going to go play for the Utah Utes. Played in 12 games last season for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Had just two tackles during that campaign. In the 3 years that he was with the Crimson Tide, he had 31 tackles. One of those went for a loss and a fumble recovery. His greatest impact, a lot of people believe, was on special teams. And it's a chance for him to move closer to home. And he's from Reno, Nevada. And it kind of also goes as well for what we were just talking about with Chris Marler from Saturday Down South on the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, too. I mean, you got some names that you got to be able to replace there. And, you know, it's one of those things that I think that Nick Saban and his staff have continued to do a great job in terms of recruiting. I mean, just the number one recruiting class they just had. And let's be honest here, talent is never going to be a problem as long as Nick Saban is the coach at Alabama, and neither is coaching and development. So they will have somebody to be able to step in. And it might have just been the right opportunity for Cahoe to leave the program and go closer to home, like I said. So now he's going to be playing in the Pac-12 for the Utah Utes. So hopefully it works out well for him. Next headline, like I said, we're going to be talking about him with Jake Wimberly, but Deion Sanders' second game at Jackson State postponed due to positive COVID-19 test on the Mississippi Valley State team. Last week, they crushed NAIA Edward Waters, and we got the interesting press conference following, not just because Dion is an interesting soundbite in general, just because of what happened there with the had some items stolen, they were recovered, then the school saying, no, they were just moved, and he didn't know it, and Dion saying, no, they were stolen, somebody stopped them doing it. So it just was an interesting storyline for a couple of days afterwards, but now it's a situation where they're going to get this week off and hopefully get back on the field next week for Jackson State. But with this game, it's going to be moving to March the 14th. They're going to play it at 2 o'clock Eastern at Mississippi Veterans Memorial Stadium there in Jackson. Next headline, former Auburn running back Cam Martin is going to be added to Gus Malzahn's initial UCF coaching staff down there in Orlando as a grad assistant. This is according to Tom Green of AL.com. Martin playing at Auburn from 2016 to 2019, as he was able to run for over 1,500 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns playing for Malzahn. And Gus is bringing a lot of coaches that he had with ties during his time on the Plains, as defensive coordinator Travis Williams, he's coming over. Offensive line coach Herb Hand, he went to Texas, then he went up to Charlotte, and now he is going to be coming down to coach with UCF, as he'll be running the offensive line. Really, the last time that Auburn had a viable offensive line with Gus Malzahn as their coach, it was Herb Hand that was leading the way. Defensive end coach Kenny Ingram, special teams coordinator, tight ends coach Brian Blackman, and cornerbacks coach Addison Williams. And this isn't necessarily a surprise. I mean, I think anybody who takes over a job somewhere, the first initial coaching staff is always people you're familiar with, because in the college game especially, you want to be able to get that staff put together as soon as possible, because you want them to be there, and then immediately, as soon as they sign their name on their contract and they move into their apartments or whatever and start being able to set some roots somewhat at wherever their new school is, you're immediately, for right now, on the phone or on Zoom or doing whatever you can to try to work on the recruiting class. And we even heard, too, to kind of prove the point, even for the programs that are established in terms of their coaching staff, Kirby Smart, we heard him talk about how, yeah, we signed most of our guys in December, you know, and we didn't necessarily worry about the February one. We're already on the 2022. In this case, too, that's that on steroids for a coach who's just been hired and trying to set up his staff and also trying to be able to set up the foundation for the program going forward. And final headline, if we run out of music or not, whatever. But ESPN has selected Mike Greenberg to host the 2021 NFL Draft for the network. Greenberg will reportedly host the first 2 days of the event on ESPN. This according to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post. And, you know, I was seeing a story that fans apparently are not a huge fan of this, and okay, whatever. I mean, I think that more than anything, I mean, I know that people have strong opinions about play-by-play announcers. I know that Joe Buck is one that elicits responses from people. I mean, usually across the board, it seems like Al Michaels is one that everybody loves. Brad Nessler, same deal. I mean, Chris Fowler, I think, you know, it's one of those things, hey, just do the job. Don't necessarily get in the way. And that's the way that I view the NFL draft, because I'm not watching to hear what Mel Kiper has to say or anybody else. I kind of already have my opinions of the players as is. I just want to see where they're going. And for that, all I need to see is being able to have them have a discussion that's kind of a background conversation, and then say, let's go to the podium. Commissioner Roger Goodell is walking up to deliver the pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's all I'm watching it for. So if you're necessarily upset about this, might I suggest you lighten up just a little bit? I don't know. It seems like your life could be a little bit more enjoyable if you did. I mean, I get that Mike Greenberg elicits a certain response for people, but whatever. Hey, it's ESPN, and that's what they want to do with their programming. All right, coming up next, all things Mississippi college football. We're going to dive into it. Jake Wimberly, Afternoon Drive, 3 to 6 on ESPN The Zone, 105.9 FM. He is going to be joining us right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck on a Friday.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. Like I said, Chuck be back after the weekend as we continue the college football conversation. Shout out Coach Grizzle, too, on the Twitch feed. Always appreciate him and all of you who catch us on the Twitch feed. And again, too, you can go check us out, Twitch TV or twitch.tv/Chris Landry Football is the way that you can check us out there. And in headlines there, you heard me talking about Deion Sanders and the job that he has on his hands there at Jackson State. And to talk about that and more in Mississippi, we turn to our good buddy, a man who has hosted this program many a time. He is Jake Wimberly. Again, you can hear him every day, afternoon drive 3 to 6 there in Jackson, Mississippi, on our affiliate ESPN The Zone 105.9. Jake, appreciate the time as always, buddy. And Deion, in terms of moving the meter there statewide at Jackson State, does he necessarily have a chance to do that?
Hey, appreciate you having me, Dan. Good to talk and always visit with you. Yeah, I think he has definitely moved the meter as far as just interest in the program. Now, look, Jackson State's always been, I mean, it's a historically, well-known HBCU university right here, been highly successful over time. I mean, alums like Walter Payton and several others that went on to play and, you know, Hall of Famers. He has moved the needle as far as the interest. Want to kind of pump the brakes on this, and I get it. I mean, people's got to put articles out and such, but Jackson Clarion Ledger put an article out about a week ago during the whole ICE event. Could Jackson State play with Vanderbilt? Could they play in the SEC now? And, I think we kind of pumped the brakes on this. I mean, they had a really good recruiting class. I believe they finished somewhere around 80 to 90 as far as 247sports.com, is concerned. That's the highest ever for Jackson State. But, you know, the opportunity for him to continue to move the meter is there. But I would say he's going to have to, be able to compete in the SWAC, compete with Alcorn State, who is right here, who's dominated them in the state of Mississippi, and then compete with the other, nationally known FCS teams before we start talking Power 5 or G5.
What necessarily is the end goal for Deion? I mean, is it to keep coaching just stay there at Jackson State, or is it, say, for example, if his alma mater ever came open, would he consider that? I mean, what do you think is the end goal for him?
It's hard to tell. The guy's obviously uber successful. I mean, he's got a big deal going with Barstool Sports. He's got, endorsement deals with Subway and several other, entities as well. So, I mean, he's not hurting, I wouldn't think, for dollars. I would have to say, Dan, it is coaching. And I don't know to what degree that is. And, that's been kind of the big conversation piece here is, Deion Sanders has brought a lot of, positive stuff, but then there's been a little bit of negative, nothing bad. I mean, no more than, everywhere Deion goes, there's, 5 or 6 to 10 to 15 people always around him. There's that entourage. He had his boombox stolen out of his truck. He said he had some stuff stolen out of his locker the other day. He creates a buzz wherever he goes, and he's rubs, some alumni the wrong way with just minor little things. But the way I've said it and framed it up on my show is, look, if Deion comes in and he's only here 3 years and he improves the recruiting profile and makes Jackson State better than when he got here, then he's done his job.
Absolutely. No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's also, too, I mean, you know, it's kind of the publicity out there. How much of it do you want? What type of publicity do you want as well? So all those questions have to be answered. And, of course, like I said, Deion Sanders, anywhere he goes, any time he is in front of a microphone, people will definitely listen. Jake Wimberly, again, Afternoon Drive 3 to 6 on our Jackson, Mississippi affiliate, ESPN The Zone 105.9 FM. And now, Jake, let's go to Ole Miss, and let's talk about Lane Kiffin year two and what he has in front of him there for the Rebels. Jeff Lebby, a lot of people thought he was going to be gone and ended up not being the case. How huge is that for Lane to not only be able to keep him on staff, but really be able to keep this entire coaching staff together?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about recruiting. I mean, these coaches, we don't talk about it enough, I don't think. They have to kind of recruit their staffs each year. And he got a big recruiting win by keeping Levy and, like you said, the entire staff or most of the staff. So I think that's huge for Kiffin to be able to have that go-to guy on the sideline. I mean, we know Lane knows offense and knows how to you know, game call on down and distance and scheme and stuff. But to have Levy, that's really, really big. And especially with a guy like Matt Corral coming back, who will be considered – you know, 1, 2, 3, depending on who you talk to in the SEC, at least preseason. I mean, you got to look JT Daniels and some others, but Corral, no doubt, a guy that, you know, a seasoned veteran now at Ole Miss. And you look at Lane Kiffin year two, I mean, talking with some people up there, even though they did lose Elijah Moore, they're really, really excited about some of the young receivers and talent that they have on that roster and expect the offense to continue to churn year two.
What is the ceiling with Corral in this Ole Miss team in 2021?
Wow. You know, I would have to say ceiling is probably, if everything goes right, 9 wins. And if you look across the schedule's pretty favorable up front. When you know, the schedules that just came out a couple weeks ago, they very well could run out to 4-0. They play Louisville in an opening game right there in Atlanta, I believe, you know, not a neutral site ball game in one of the classics there, the Chick-fil-A Classic. And then after that, if they can get that game, they probably should run out to 4-0 before they head to Tuscaloosa. But I think 9 wins is probably the ceiling. You would have to expect LSU is going to be much improved this year. Alabama is going to be Alabama. Texas A&M has shown that, you know, they have moved the needle for sure. We'll see what happens down on the plains at Auburn. But, you know, I figure for Ole Miss, if they're, you know, second through fourth in the division, probably more towards third or fourth for Lane Kiffin, probably has to be the ceiling this year.
Again, Jake Wimberly joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Afternoon Drive 3 to 6, Jackson, Mississippi, ESPN. The Zone 105.9 is where you can find him. One last one before we get you out of here, and that's Mississippi State, a program that I know you follow very closely. A lot of roster attrition this year through transfers and others leaving the program. Will it show up in a huge way in year two for Mike Leach?
You know, I think it could. I think what you're going to see show up more than anything is just a good solid year in the program, a good solid year for these offensive linemen in a way, you know, strength and conditioning, off-season type program. Let's remember, I mean, and everybody faced it last year. I mean, Alabama didn't show a whole lot of, you know, signs of it hurting them. But to be, you know, in a pandemic type year and not have the access that typically teams have, I think you're going to see a leaner offensive front. I think they'll be better, you know, immediately. I think you'll see, obviously, some better skill talent on the edge for Mike Leach, Will Rogers year two, you know, more seasoned at quarterback. You're going to see some better, you know, players at running back, guys that, again, freshmen last year that'll be in year two. Defensively, I mean, that's going to be, you know, a question mark. What do they look like on the second level? So, yeah, you know, I think Mike Leach's team, you know, if you go with the same question, you didn't ask this, but if you go with the same question post for Ole Miss, I think you look at Mike Leach, 6-6, 7-5 is probably where they would like to land this year. Obviously, you want to finish higher than that, but I think this team will be much better in year two, which Mike Leach, if you go by his track record, typically is better. Much better in year two than year one.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people want to see what 21 looks like, but year three as well. I mean, everywhere he's been, Jake, that's been where he's been able to show, like, hey, see, this is why you hired me. I'm here now, and we're going to start to win.
Yeah.
So that's something that Mississippi State fans can look forward to. Jake, a short visit this time. We'll catch up much longer next time. Appreciate your time as always, and look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend. Talk soon.
Appreciate it. Jake Wimberly again. Afternoon Drive 3 to 6 on ESPN The Zone 105.9 FM over in Jackson, Mississippi. We always appreciate their partnership with the show. And, yeah, he's exactly right. I mean, in terms of both programs, Mississippi State and Ole Miss, in terms of what their ceiling is this season, especially for Ole Miss, I mean, the talent is there. They've got plenty of it. Can they improve defensively? That's going to be a question for them. And Lane Kiffin is somebody that I think, if nothing else, has shown you that he can make it exciting on the field, and can excitement lead to being able to upset an Alabama or anybody else on that schedule? That's going to be the question for him in 2021.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Let's keep it going on a Friday. What do you say? Dan Matthews in for Chuck. It is the Chuck Oliver Show, part of Southern Sports Today. And we have talked all SEC with Chris Marler, Saturday Down South at Vern Funquist is the way you can find him there. Jake Wimberly, Afternoon Drive 3 to 6 on our Jackson, Mississippi affiliate, ESPN, the Zone 105.9 FM. So now let's go down to Gainesville and let's talk some Florida Gators with Zach Abelverde. Gators beat for the Gainesville Sun. He joins us now. Zach, always appreciate your time. I want to get right into it, and I want to start defensively because this is one of those things that is a really huge pet peeve of mine for coaches where they're asked a question, they don't answer it, or they just say, I want to move on. And that's what Todd Grantham did when asked about the failures of the 2020 season defensively and where they go from here. How did you take his answer?
To be expected. You know, I mean, you know, they have turned the page, and I think any time you have a season like they did, and you have an end to a season like they did as well, the last thing that you want to do is think about it, talk about it, harp on it, and even though I'm sure, you know, within those buildings and at practices, there may be times where that message is delivered about how they played last season, but I think in a press conference setting, not only Grantham, but the defensive players have you know, tried to turn the page. You know, they have, at least the players, acknowledged, you know, some of the issues that they had last season and why they think that was the case. But, you know, Grantham is, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, he is already kind of, you know, doesn't want to talk about that team, doesn't want to talk about that unit. And he also feels like they have a chance to be better because they're having spring practice right now, which obviously they missed last year along with everyone else.
But do you think Gator fans are cool with that? I mean, or do you feel like they kind of want to hear like some ownership of, yeah, I didn't do a good enough job at this, or yeah, they didn't do a good enough job at this? I mean, do you feel like that there's a little bit of kind of a balance that could be struck there?
I mean, honestly, I think that those questions have been answered in the past. I mean, Grantham got grilled all last season about the struggles on defense and at times gave his reasonings for why he thought that was the case. And a lot of it did boil down to, and again, this is according to him, you know, the lack of spring practice that they had and development that was there. He feels like that set them back, but that set a lot of defenses back in college football, not just Florida. I mean, everybody could see last year that the offenses, by and large, were just ahead of the defensive play. So he has talked about it before, Dan Mullen has kind of given, you know, detailed answers. Now, again, whether people like those answers and like what they have to say is another conversation. But those answers have been given in the past. I think the point of where Grantham was coming from this week was, you know, at this point, it does us no good to continue to talk about it, to continue to, you know, dissect it or analyze what went wrong. Like, they're on to spring ball and what they're trying to do for 2021. And that was just kind of his way of saying, hey, guys, don't ask me more questions about 2020. You know, I'm here to talk about practice.
That's fair enough. Zach Abelverde, Gators beat for the Gainesville Sun, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. One more on the defense, and what is the belief on that side of the ball? How confident are Gator fans heading into the 2021 season with the defense?
Well, the confidence is not there. I mean, I think the one thing that fans might look at it for to have a little bit of positivity is that it can't get any worse than it was last year, just because of how bad they were in some areas. I mean, they ranked 100th nationally in pass defense. So I think obviously if you're looking at one area and hoping that they're going to improve or that's just going to be something different, is obviously you look at the staff changes that were made in the secondary with Torian Gray and Ron English and bringing two new assistant coaches in there, especially one guy in Wesley McGriff that is an SEC veteran and has coached in the NFL and has been a defensive coordinator. So you have to hope if you're a Florida fan that those guys coming in along with the changes in personnel in the secondary. I mean, there are a lot of people that weren't happy about the guys that were starting last season, but there's four starters from last season that are now gone. So, I mean, you're going to get some new faces in the secondary because Marco Wilson is no longer there. Donovan Steiner is no longer there. Brad Stewart and Sean Davis. So, there's going to be new faces at safety. There's going to be a new guy starting in that star nickel position that they have. I think you'll still get the two corners and Jaden Hill and Kyer Elam, who obviously played a lot last year. But I think the newness and maybe some new pieces is what Florida fans are hoping or at least banking on, then maybe that defense can be better. Because in the front seven, although their linebacker play did leave some things to be desired, the Gators still led the SEC in sacks and ranked second in the SEC in tackles for loss. So it wasn't like they didn't produce with their front seven. The back end is where they got to get better.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else too, Zach, I mean, that's been kind of the calling card for Todd Grantham, is that he'll get you to the quarterback. He'll get you some turnovers. It's just the big plays can be the ones that hurt you, and that's where a lot of fan bases, I think, soon enough kind of sour on him a little bit. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. Arik Gilbert obviously is a huge addition to this team. What's the latest on him, and is there any belief that he's going to be able to go immediately this coming season?
Yeah, it's interesting, Dan. I mean, it's like, you know, he's kind of been probably one of the top, if not the top, talking point with Florida fans this spring. And he's not even on the roster. He's not practicing right now. And now that doesn't diminish adding him via transfer portal, because this is yet again another five-star that the Gators have gotten. And according to 24/7 Sports, he's ranked the number one transfer in the country. And, oh, by the way, the number two transfer is DeMarcus Bowman. So the Gators landed both of those guys. But, I will say, I mean, first of all, he's still got to get to campus, which would be in the summer. I know that he has some, work to get, or they got to, figure out, obviously, where he stands academically, as far as carrying over credits and stuff like that. And then obviously, once he gets to campus, he's got to figure out his eligibility with the NCAA. I think that, first of all, him and Bowman both have to get those answers, whether the NCAA decides to grant the one-time waiver rule before the season starts, or we got to go through the waiver processes again, which Florida has been very successful with in the past. I do think Bowman would have at least a pretty good chance of getting a waiver just based on his circumstances with his grandfather. With Gilbert, we don't know. I mean, whatever he would put in for a waiver application to try and get immediately eligible, it remains to be seen whether that would be a case that would be strong enough to go through. So I would caution Florida fans that are excited about his addition, like, it's definitely a big deal, but he might not help the team this season. I think the fact that they got, four other guys at that tight end spot that they're working this spring, they're going to need those guys to show up and produce before they can count on the transfer to come in fall.
The Gainesville Suns, Zach Abelverde, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Zach Abelverde. I mean, this next question, I think probably know the answer if one or both of the names you just mentioned there. We were talking about Arik Gilbert with also you know, being able to help out with this offense this season. But who makes plays? Who steps up this year in this receiving game for the Gators?
Oh, I just wrote a feature about him today on Gatorsports.com. I definitely encourage everybody to go check it out if you're a Florida fan, because the Gators only got one starter returning in their receiving corps, and that's Jacob Copeland. And you have to think that he is primed for a breakout year. And talking to him this week, he definitely seems poised for a breakout year. You know, he's got a really good mindset. I think that he learned a lot the last few years from playing behind guys like Van Jefferson for 2 years and then playing with Kadarius Toney last year and seeing what he did to improve his draft stock considerably. That just really rubbed off on Copeland. And, oh, by the way, this whole time that he's been at Florida, his roommate was Kyle Pitts. So he got to, you know, have a really behind-the-scenes look at all the work that guy put in to have the Mackey Award season that he had. So, I think that he's really set up to, you know, to have a lot of success, not only because of all those guys leaving along with Trevon Grimes, but also because of who's the quarterback. You know, a lot of these receivers and tight ends that we just talked about are going to have to develop, you know, a connection with Emory Jones. Fortunately for Copeland, you know, he kind of already has one with Emory Jones. I mean, those guys became really close friends during their recruitments in the 2018 class. They played together. I want to say they even roomed together at the Under Armour All-American game and threw each other passes all week. And that was kind of like when they started talking about teaming up and playing together in college. And here we are all these years later, and he's the starting quarterback and Copeland's starting receiver. He started 11 games last year. So, you know, this is their chance to kind of you know, everything that they planned on have come to fruition. And I think that they're going to have a chance to, you know, have a really special connection. I'm pretty sure that he'll be Jones's go-to target. And then beyond that, I definitely think, you know, Justin Shorter showed up last season. I think Xavier Henderson, CJ's little brother, has a chance to produce a lot more this year. But those guys and you know, Keon Zipper and Kamari Gamble at tight end, they got big shoes to fill. There's no doubt about it.
All right, you touched on Emory Jones. We'll finish up talking about him here in just a couple of seconds. But the running game, I think, is something that a lot of people would like to see improve for Dan Mullen's offense this year. What's the belief that that can happen in 21?
Man, you got options. I mean, and it's not like they didn't have options last year. But, you know, to add Bowman to the backfield, to have Lingard with a full offseason under his belt, I think an opportunity to get his knee a little bit more healthy. And then obviously what you saw out of Pierce, Davis, and Wright, I mean, all those guys produced last year. They just didn't produce a lot, and they weren't asked to do a lot in the run game in terms of the amount of carries that they got. But all of them contributed, and I think with the offense going to more of a run-oriented attack with Emory Jones, Florida losing all those dynamic receivers, although they still have some, they're not going to be as potent in the passing game. And because of that, you're going to have to lean on your ground game more. You're going to have to use those weapons that you got in the backfield. And not only do you have the guys returning from last year, but you add 2 5-star transfers in Lingard and Bowman, who both have top-end track-type speed. So even if they're just contributing in the rotation, not necessarily getting a lot of carries, you just add them to the mix as, you know, weapons that you can throw out there on the field in the game. It's going to be exciting to see what they do. I mean, they made the rotation work last year, even though, again, they didn't run the ball a lot. I think that that's going to increase, and I also think you're going to see more guys involved.
Finish you up, Zach. Again, Zach Abelverde of the Gainesville Sun joining us here to talk some Florida Gators. And it's a two-parter. I mean, like I said about Emory Jones, is it completely his job, or could he lose it? And how confident are people in his ability to run Dan Mullen's offense?
Well, nobody has a job. I mean, it's, you know, he could lose it just like anybody could, because Dan Mullen from the get-go, and I think always as long as he's been a quarterback coach, will never just, like, you know, say a guy's just set as a starter. And that includes for Emory Jones. As much as he's put in the time and waited, he's still got to go out there and beat Anthony Richardson in spring and fall. And I think he will. But I also think that you're going to see Richardson, because this has just kind of always been Mullen's M.O., is when he has a quarterback that's a young guy that can contribute and bring something to the offense, he uses him, even if just in a very small role. And I think what's going to change with Richardson and Jones that was different from Jones and Trask is that when Jones came into the game, he was a changeup. He was going to do things that Trask would not do, whereas Richardson has a very similar skill set to Jones. So the offense and what they're going to be doing when one of them is in the game isn't going to change all that much. But look, I mean, Emery, this is his team. This is his time. He's going to get the majority of the snaps. He's going to run the offense. I do think, though, that he will want to and be happy about being showcased more as a passer. And, you know, if that means that Richardson gets to take some carries away from him, he probably won't mind that because he's been playing that role for the last 3 years. He's probably ready to do something else. But I do think you're going to see two quarterbacks. Like I said, you're going to see them have more of a run-oriented attack because of the dual threat ability. And I think most importantly, and maybe most exciting for Florida fans, as great as that offense was last year, you're going to now see kind of what a Dan Mullen offense really looks like, or ideally what he would like it to look like and what he always envisions and recruits for. And that's to have the dual-threat quarterbacks, to have all the weapons in the backfield, and to utilize them in every way that he can. So they got to put it together. I do think there'll be some growing pains, but I'm excited to see how it comes together.
Do me a favor, anything and everything you want to know about the Florida Gators, this man who we have just spent a few minutes talking with can tell you about it on Gatorsports.com and also his work with the Gainesville Sun. He is Zach Abelverde. Zach, always appreciate the chance to catch up with you. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do it again soon. If not, definitely SEC Media Days before the season. One way or another, we'll have you back here in short order.
No doubt. Dan, I always appreciate you guys having me on, and glad you could give Chuck a day off.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, appreciate it, buddy. Zach Abelverde, you can find him on Twitter, at Zach Abelverde. Zach, appreciate it, as always. All right, coming up next, it is list season. It is the time when everybody shows their opinions in terms of these pieces, and then, of course, everybody starts to argue about it. But in this piece right here, I don't necessarily have an issue with it. And I think I necessarily know what the criteria is for being at the top of this particular list. I'll have that for you as we have our closing argument. To close out the week, it's Dan Matthews in for Chuck.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
The fact that he was able to come in year one and get kind of a program-defining win year one against LSU
And then really, he was able to beat you in a number of ways. Like, it was pick your poison. Do you want them to just run you to death with Larry Roundtree the third? Or should we throw with a true freshman quarterback, Connor Bazelak? I think there's a lot of positives going into year two.
Chris Marler, Saturday Down South, joining us earlier here on the Chuck Oliver Show today. And he's talking about Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach at Missouri, and a lot of people really high on Eli Drinkwitz and what he was able to do in his first season with the Missouri Tigers. And I think just his coaching style and what he is able to bring to that program. And, you know, another thing, too, that Chris touched on that was right is that Missouri has had some good fortune over the years of being able to not only find players that might have kind of come under the radar, but also, too, being able to win with said players. I mean, who would have thought when Missouri came into the conference in 2012, just a short year later, they would be in the SEC championship game taking on Auburn. So I think at least with that being under Gary Pinkel and not necessarily reaching the same level of success with Barry Odom, there is a chance for them to get back, especially with how good of a coach. And you heard him say right there, I mean, just the different types of ways that Eli Drinkwitz can get after you. I would probably believe that Missouri will be one of those programs that I don't necessarily think they're going to challenge Kirby Smart or Dan Mullen in terms of supremacy in the conference, but I do think they're going to have the ability to be that program that you say, oh, they're on our schedule. Yeah, I don't know if we want to play those guys. Maybe you won't say that out in public, but at least in the building, you're going to be saying, God, these guys are tough. And not enough people give this team credit. It's the old adage, the team you don't want to play, and they might have a chance to be just that program with Drinkwitz at the helm. All right, so earlier on in the show, we had a chance to catch up with Chris Marler. We also had a chance to catch up with Jake Wimberly, and also just recently, we had a chance to catch up with Zach Abelverde of Gatorsports.com, the Gainesville Sun. So we do those things. If you missed any of them, Southern Sports Today app, you can check them out there, both hours of the show on a podcast. You can catch it after we wrap up here. So we've done all that. Now let's do this. It's time for the closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Alexander Shannara, one of the best for a reason. You know his work. You've seen his billboards, all those different types of things. Alexander Shannara can put in the work for you. All right, ESPN putting out their top quarterbacks of the 2000s. And like I said, this is the time of year. This is list season. This is whenever everybody puts out their the top 10 coaches who have a chance to take the step forward in 2021, or the top 10 coaches you hadn't heard about, or the playmakers that you have no idea about. Well, in this case, like I said, the top quarterbacks of the 2000s, and the 2000s no doubt have been the golden era of college football for me, you know, growing up most of my life in this millennium and being able to see the names that are on this list. I mean, Vince Young, one of them. Tim Tebow, one of them. He's high up on the list. Well, number one was one that I'm sure a lot of people might have an issue with, and that is Baker Mayfield in at number one for his career that he had, starting out at Texas Tech as a walk-on and then becoming the starter and then moving on and playing quarterback at Oklahoma. And, you know, what's pointed out here in this 60 quarterbacks piece that's on ESPN Plus, and this was put together by Bill Conley there on ESPN.com, and he points out that Newton, Young, Burrow had the best seasons, but Mayfield had the best career. And that's not hard to argue with that, or not hard to agree with at all, because he's exactly right. And I get that these lists are subjective, and some people will look at it just for what he just pointed out. He was already supplementing his argument of saying, yeah, you can say that Joe Burrow was better. You can say that Tim Tebow, Cam, all these different types of players. Sure, why not? But Mayfield was the true from the bottom to the top story. The walk-on, on scholarship, winning the Heisman. He made Lincoln Riley into a household name. OU isn't where it's at right now without Mayfield. And sure, you know, of course, me being with my LSU persuasion, I'm a huge Joe Burrow guy. But every single one of those quarterbacks that you just mentioned right there, they were the best one in their program's history. They were different. They were unique. Tebow, Burrow, Cam, Deshaun Watson, all fitting that bill. And no disrespect to any other quarterback that has played for a certain program, like, say, Alabama. But there's a reason why Tua and other quarterbacks like him are talked about in the vein that they are and not necessarily quarterbacks before them. No disrespect, but you're kind of a dime in the dozen in the eyes of your fan base until you get the unique talent there. I want to thank everybody that made this show happen today. Chuck, again, will be back on Monday. I want to thank David Holloway behind the scenes. Everybody that makes the show what it is. Chris Marler for joining us. Zach Abelverde, Jake Wimberly. All of you out there for listening, thank you so much. Dan Matthews in today for Chuck. This is the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.